before we get to the podcast, I wanted to invite you to the Pipeline Conference. The theme of this year's conference will be succession at every level. The event will be held October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, Tennessee. The focus of this event will be succession all the way from senior leadership at a church to the preschool and even the parking volunteers. That means that this conference is for your whole leadership team and any volunteers who you'd like to join you. Our speakers will include John Piper, Bob Russell, H.B. Charles, Tom Rayner, and more. Again, this event is October 11 through 13 here in Nashville. We will have separate coaching days on October 11 and 13, with the main event being the 12th. These days provide your team a chance to get focused, engaged training from our team. We have early bird discounts running through July 31st, so there's still time to take advantage of these, along with our fantastic group rates if you want to bring your team. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about the event and to register your team. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and don't forget to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts before July 31st. Hey, and welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I am your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Today, we are joined by Trevin Wax, who is the only sort of newly, but somewhat newly christened, or are you director of Bible publishing? Is that
Bible
the name?
Bible and Reference Publisher.
Bible and Reference Publisher. That's right. Yeah. So this is the 72nd hat that Trevin has worn in his few years at Lifeway. He's sort of the jack of all trades. He gets moved into every position of need. But this is a significant one because Lifeway is launching, or has launched, I should say, the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. Trevin oversees that launch, that brand, all subsidiary products. Which doesn't mean much to most people, but like, what is the CSB? Let's just start there. You can give this is the elevator pitch, not the stand in front of a bunch of pastors pitch.
Okay. So the Christian Standard Bible, translation of the Bible in English, that seeks to be in the sweet spot between
of all Christians.
That's why it's standard.
For?
No, I mean, it is standard, but no, it's trying to be in the sweet spot between a translation that is word for word, literal, and thought for thought, dynamic.
So
we're talking in the middle that is both accurate and readable, literal, faithful to the original text, also easy to understand.
Is it somewhere between like an NIV and a NASB?
Yes, it would be yes, in between those two. So if you've got a NASB, is more word
for
word.
He asked that just to watch you tap dance around being critical of other translations.
I did it because
I'm not
that
being
was
critical.
No. So you're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah.
when I came up and through, like, it was not like I was
everyone
I preached
used
for a NASB,
right?
I
right.
Preached from a NASB, and then I would secretly do my own personal
NIV or like a New Living Translation, very, very readable. Mm-hmm. You hand out to new believers,
yeah.
So I'm not going to be critical of other translations because what I say is translations all serve a different purpose. Different translations do different things well.
Yes.
So you've got a NASB is word for word. It helps you do Bible study well. New Living Translation and NIV, easy to understand, hand out.
Yeah, a bit more conceptual.
Right.
Yeah.
The CSB is trying to do both of those things really well, to be a good primary text for use in
and
preaching
it's a
and in
tool
passing
Bible
out.
That's right. Well
I
done.
My sports.
Your sports reference right
sports
off the bat. Well done. I tend to switch translations about every year or two because it helps me kind of stay fresh.
Yeah.
So when the CSB came out and I got a copy, or actually it was before it came out because perks of the job, I started reading it. I love it. And this is not just the company man, because if anybody has listened to this for all 100 and whatever,
you would not say that.
They know that I don't sort of superfluously throw out praise, but I love it. It is super readable. It ties back to a lot of the familiar biblical language, you know, those passages, the John 3:16s, the Luke 2 story, the Romans 8s, these passages that those of us who've been in the Bible for a long time know, but it's fresh as well. Super readable. I read it with my kids.
Right.
And you know, I have to explain some theological words, but like the narrative parts just read smoothly. So CSB, and is it CSB.com? is it csbible.com?
That's right.
csbible.com.
So FAQs are on there, endorser list.
Yeah, you can see. So churches are adopting this as their primary teaching and studying Bible. And so you go to csbible.com, you can check out more.
That's right.
We wanted to highlight that partly because Trevin is overseeing it, partly because we're very excited about it as Lifeway. And now we're going to pivot into the topics of the day, which is another one of our Leadership Quick Hitters podcast. So this is not a single subject. This is hearing from the three of us about resources, people, influences that that we've enjoyed and have helped us recently. So I'm just going to put the first one on the table, and whoever wants to go first can. Todd is texting, so I'm going to guess he's not going first.
I was looking up five tool players so I could actually have a good reference.
Okay.
I know what it is, but
okay.
I was going to refer to Trevin as a five tool player.
He is the Willie Mays of Lifeway.
Yes, and the Benjamin Button, because
he's aging backwards.
he's going to be a baby soon.
He's younger now than he was when he started. Well, I can't talk. The only reason people don't think I'm like that is because I'm a foot taller than Trevin is.
probably a foot. Yeah,
close. All right, first topic. What is one thing you have read recently? So that's super open ended. Could be a blog post. Could be a book. Something that stands out in your mind as a helpful thing you have read.
I just finished a book called In the Garden of Beasts by Eric Larson.
Yeah, he's the one who did Devil in the White City.
Yes.
And
Well, that's the one I read first.
Yeah,
I read that. I picked that up on a Sunday afternoon and didn't realize that I basically lost the rest of my Sunday.
Boom.
I could not put it down.
That's a pretty fantastic one.
And I tweeted it out, like a picture of it, like, man, this book is so riveting. And a ton of people were saying, I can't believe you're just now reading this. And then he responded on Twitter. It's like, oh, thanks for saying that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like that.
Yeah, he did the same thing. He did another one about the sinking of the Lusitania.
Yeah.
Dead Wake.
Yeah.
And I tweeted something about how good it was, and he responded to me. So he's a very interactive author.
Yeah. But the Garden of Beasts is about the ambassador from the United States and his family moving to Berlin in the early 1930s, when Hitler was just solidifying all of his power, right? So, and I mean, everyone was starting to do the Heil Hitlers and the
and it's like super doom and gloom. Like you sort of get, it's like this really eerie.
It feels weirder and weirder the more you go. But what's crazy about it? And I think, so if we're going to pull a leadership, this is a leadership podcast, right?
Yep.
I guess is
last time I checked.
What a culture, what a culture can wind up doing to normal, ordinary, good people.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, I don't want to say good in the sense of, you know, all morally upright, but in the sense of people just sort of go along to get
along.
You
can handle total depravity on your podcast, right. The Word Matters podcast.
Yeah, that's right. But I just like the whole emphasis of you just kind of go along to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I guess we're not going to think it's crazy and weird that these Americans down the street just got beat up because they didn't do the salute to Hitler. And, you know, like, it's mind-boggling, like, how a civilized country could descend into that sort of chaos. And also a little frightening to think that if that could happen in Germany in the 1930s,
which could happen anywhere. And it was, they're a technologically advanced country for
course,
their era. I mean, it wasn't,
leading theologians, scientists, everyone coming out of there.
Tons of history. Yeah.
Crazy. But what an eerie, well-written
He's
book.
A brilliant
well
writer,
done,
too. Because
Eric Larson.
Because he doesn't write it like history. He writes it like a novel.
That's right.
But it's all historical. So it's not fictionalized.
He's pulling from all of their notes.
But it's novelized.
Their journals, their articles, their memoirs. Yeah.
Todd, what have you been reading?
I read five books on Succession last month.
any of them stand out as particularly strong?
Of course, anything that Noel Tichy writes, I love. Mm-hmm. That's T-I-C-H-Y.
Tichy.
His book is simply titled Succession.
So this isn't church leadership succession. This is just like management
books.
Leadership. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Frequent listeners of the podcast know that that's what Todd reads.
This is you preparing for the Pipeline Conference in the fall, as which the theme will be succession at every level.
And
myleadershippipeline.com. Go check it out.
I just wrapped up another white paper e-booklet kind of thing on succession. So
nice. All it took was me leaving the team and you started knocking content out.
Yep. Pretty much.
Whatever works, man.
You're a great barrier.
I was your biggest barrier to success.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the key there is really understanding, and Tichy has a way of looking at leadership that I really resonate with. It's very relational and it's very process oriented, but recognizing that people aren't a process at the same time. So to boil it all down, I would just basically say that most people get succession wrong because mm-hmm. they're thinking about it as an event. And they're thinking about it as replacement versus reproduction. You really need to think about succession as reproduction. It's just a part of a healthy pipeline.
Right.
Because, you know, everybody loves to talk about the senior leader or the senior pastor in an organization or church, and they think about succession in that terms. But really, it's vitally important to have a full pipeline of people at every level ready for succession because, you know, the whole idea of emergency succession that, mm-hmm. you know, do we have a plan? Well, a lot of people have a plan for if I get hit by a bus, but it's good for about 24 hours and people dismiss it because
it's a triage plan.
Yeah. It seems, oh, this will never happen. So I'm just going to do the plan to appease everyone mm-hmm. and stick it in a filing cabinet.
I'm impressed, Todd, because I expected you to preach for at least another 20 minutes on that because you, when your momentum gets going on something you're excited about, you go. So succession
by just one book. Do you
know.
Want to talk about the other four.
Let's just stop at that one.
Okay.
Succession, Noel Tichy. But like I said, the pipeline conference in October here in Nashville will be built around the idea of succession at every level of church leadership. So yeah. Volunteer all the way to senior level.
Totally.
Some top-notch speakers. If you go to myleadershippipeline.com, you can look at it, explore, register, early bird discounts, group discounts. You'll totally. Save all sorts of money. So go do that.
So there's another one by Rothwell. On succession, and that one it's a textbook, so you have to be bought in, but if you buy in, it's really, really good. It's one okay. of those things where, you know, some people will read it and then they'll contextualize it and, you know, create blogs and all kinds right. of stuff out of it, and everybody thinks they're a genius
Todd will write a white paper.
And I'll write a white paper. I mean, you got to read well to write well.
Yeah. And for listeners, all of the things that we recommend, sure. we will link to in the show notes. So if you go to lifeway.com/leadership, you can find the show notes for this episode. We'll have links there. So if you are scrambling to write all this down, we will do it for you. All you have to do is go to the show notes and find it. So
you may proceed.
Yes. The two that I had written down, I just finished yesterday at the time of this recording, a book called Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. He is the founder of Nike. So it's sort of a business book, but it's really more of his memoir as an entrepreneur. So you kind of get a look behind the curtain of a pathologically creative and mildly antagonistic entrepreneur. He's not Steve Jobsian, not quite that antagonistic, but it's also all first person perspective. It's very reflective on his motivations and things. And I just ate it up in like 2 days. It was fascinating. So Shoe Dog by Phil Knight was one. The other one is, I've been hearing about the Enneagram for like a year and a half or 2 years. At first I thought it was culty.
You read The Road Back to You.
I did.
I did too. Someone recommended it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard an interview with the authors, Ian Crone and yes. Suzanne Stabile yeah. with Richard Clark, who right. does one of the right. Christianity Today podcasts. And I liked them both so much. I was like, these people are really interesting, really smart. I'm going to get their book.
It's a fascinating book.
And so it's just sort of a primer on the Enneagram, which is, breaks people into
another profile. Yeah.
Have you dug
Todd
into it at all?
Obsessed
I've
with
done,
these things.
I've done Enneagram, but it's been like okay. 2 years. So, I don't find it as helpful for, like, it's great for me and Daniel or me and you or us to talk about, but it's harder to talk about on a broad scale because not that many people take it.
It's much more self-discovery and yeah. those and relational yes. than it is like how to manage a team of
totally.
People and things
it's
like
less
that.
It's helpful for what we do, it's right. cool.
It's kind of a know yourself right. kind of a thing.
But it has this pretty sort of profoundly spiritual aspect to it because it's built around sort of the core struggle that these different kinds of people has.
The struggle is real.
Which is helpful because it, you know, the things that frustrate you about yourself, this helps you look at them and go, oh, that's why. And then you can begin to grow and learn yeah. and be better. So The Road Back to You is the name of that one. So those are the two that I would recommend. I'm sure we could talk books all day. That's a different podcast. Second, quick hitter. What is one thing you have listened to recently? Could be music, could be podcast, audiobook. What is something that you have enjoyed or benefited from listening to?
Podcast, S-Town.
S-Town. I've heard much buzz. I haven't downloaded and haven't listened yet.
Okay, I'm just be warned. There's a lot of twists and turns in it. It's the kind of thing you're listening. You're like, is this real? Like, is this really real? Long form reporting that from the standpoint of casting characters and really trying to probe deep into people's motivations and psyches. And it's very well done.
Is it standpoint. Okay? So quick question.
I'm not going to say it's the most rewarding.
Is it more true crime or is it more like Sarah Koenig navel gazing? That other one,
yeah,
that I forgot the name of.
It's definitely not true crime. Okay. It's more what are these? It's kind of like this guy from New York treats people in this little town in Alabama like they're a different
species.
Well, from another planet or something. I don't know. Like it has a little bit of.
I also treat people from small town Alabama that way.
It has a little bit of that element.
Sometimes,
but it's so sympathetically put together. And the people that he is sort of profiling are very interesting and have layers to them. That
profiling
begin to...
in a journalistic fashion as opposed to like yeah. the negative sort.
That's right.
Gotcha.
That's
okay. Right. Just clarifying. So anyway. That's S-Town. Todd, what comes to mind for you?
This is going to sound random, but you wouldn't expect anything less, right? I have been trying
EDM.
To wean. Yes. I've been trying to wean myself off the bad EDM.
Isn't that redundant?
But Capital Kings, I don't know if you know those guys.
I don't. Not my genre.
Not your genre. Well, last album was like 2015, but it's still really good. And it basically has been on
repeat.
On repeat, yeah, a lot, especially mornings and afternoons.
You know, you're really putting me to the test having to link to that stuff in the show notes.
Sorry, man.
I'll do it for the listener's sake. So it's Capital Kings. Is that
Capital Kings? All right. You have like a double shot espresso, and hit that in the afternoon. It will get you through the remainder of the day.
And that's electronic dance music for those of you who are not.
I had not heard of them, but I knew as soon as Todd said it.
Yeah, just clarifying.
That must be else.
I just finished the audiobook of Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, there you go.
John Steinbeck. Is a genius.
Oh yes.
Like I read
East of Eden.
Oh, which yeah. is yeah. A top maybe top 10 for me all time. And Grapes of Wrath is really different.
Isn't it a lot shorter?
Yes, it's shorter. It's still a pretty substantial book.
But not as big
but
as
not
East
quite
of
as
Eden.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so bleak, which is perfect because it's all about the Dust Bowl and like the,
right.
and the continued struggles of this family and people trying to get from Oklahoma to California. And it's brilliant.
What's interesting is going back. And so like I had to read that in high school and then going back. And if you read it like in a completely different life uh-huh. stage, it
how it hits you differently. It's like reading
totally.
A different book almost. Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah. I've kind of commissioned myself to reread things that were assigned to me in high school. Because I look back and I'm like, 17-year-old me was an idiot. And so there
I could not appreciate.
Right.
Some of
what
so
was like
there,
the
yeah.
I hated The Great Gatsby at 16 and 17. Oh. I read it last year or 2 years ago and was reminded again how dumb I was because that book is also brilliant. So To Kill a Mockingbird is another one I read in my late 20s after sort of ignoring it in high school. Classic novel. So yes, reread everything you were assigned in high school and think differently about it. And then a podcast to recommend. You mentioned S-Town. I will recommend Crime Town, which
is that fictional?
No. It looks at organized crime in Providence, okay. Rhode Island, which was sort of a hub for like the Cosa Nostra through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And it's really well produced. So they don't get bogged down. It's all looking back. And so the story is pretty much wrapped up, but it's tons of first person interviews with guys with names like, you know, Buddy the Nose and stuff like that. And it's so entertaining.
You just hardly believe some of this stuff is true. It's like with S-Town, like, is this real? Like,
yeah. And they tell really stories real. About like the stuff they would do. And you're like, this is Goodfellas.
Yeah.
This is Goodfellas in podcast form with slightly less swearing. But Crime Town is brilliant.
Quite a bit of swearing in S-Town, just as a for all of our listeners yeah, to know.
There's some language, yeah, as we yeah, like
I'm
to
not,
say.
There's
not,
no swearing in the Capital Kings. I'm just yeah, saying.
I bet there's no words either.
Yeah, there's some words. They mix in some words. This is not true to
okay,
EDM.
Well, then you have the okay. only but thing in the listen to thing that you can recommend it with an unqualified.
There's no right. asterisk.
So, I'll recommend yeah. Grapes of Wrath unqualified because it's classic. Next one. What is one tool or resource that you've started using recently that you've really enjoyed or that has been cool or beneficial in some way?
My Briggs Riley bag.
Satchel.
Satchel, man, whatever purse. It is. You know, it's hard to find. It's hard to find the right kind of bag that doesn't look like either is a book it? Bag or, yeah, corner? Yeah. It's pretty unassuming, but like I can fit a bunch of stuff in it.
Is it pretty unassuming or is it pretty and unassuming?
No, it's an expensive bag. It trust me, it might not look like it, but it is.
It's a satchel.
But it's been good. I had the last one that I had for 11 years and it was getting worn and frayed.
You're a very faithful
yes.
satchel owner.
That's why I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, if this is high quality and costs a lot, it's probably going to be another decade before I switch it out. So
I can't see it from where I'm sitting. Is it a leather bag? Is it a canvas bag?
No, it's
the combo.
Anyway, I'll show it to you.
Take it up.
I mean, are you going to describe it here?
Yes. We're going to pitch this on the podcast. This is
okay. Well, I saw someone else had it.
Okay.
This is why.
Okay, so it's a all right.
Very nice, multiple.
You can hear it. It's a Briggs & Riley. It's like a laptop bag, but with enough space for a few books or like. Let's see. He's got some Moleskins in there.
Noise canceling headphones.
Oh, I see two CSBs and a whole bunch of cords.
Yes.
And it's an over-the-shoulder bag as opposed to a backpack.
That's right.
So yeah, like over, and it was Briggs and Riley. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
All right. So Briggs and Riley.
We can link to it in the show notes.
All right. Yes. So at Christmas, I got an Apple gift card, and I finally decided to buy myself the gift using that plus my own money, an Apple Watch.
And do you like it?
I do. If I had to pay full price and like think it was going to change my life, it probably wouldn't, but, it replaced my Fitbit and it can do a lot of other things. So, you know, in terms of text messaging and notifications and all of the health stuff and calendar notifications, it's just sort of helpful. So you don't have to be glued to your phone. You can put your phone in a bag or in your pocket and not have to be sort of pulling it out and looking at it throughout podcast recording, for example. But I was a faithful Fitbit user for a couple years, and this effectively replaces that. And I think it's more accurate, too. So the Apple Watch is purely a luxury item, but it is a like
it's been useful.
But yeah, I was going to say it's not essential to life, but it is very beneficial. So I also got the waterproof one. That's what I was waiting for because
you thought I'm going to mess that up.
I will absolutely destroy it otherwise. So who is one person who has influenced you recently and how?
I'd say, okay, for me, then this is going to put the last two questions together because you got the last question. What is one lesson you've learned recently?
Yes.
So for me, this is partly a learning with my team, but also just good leadership, I guess, that I should have known ahead of time. But whenever you're making plans and people are saying, look, if everything goes right, this is what's going to happen. We'll make this deadline or we'll do just right there. You should know not everything is going to go right.
Yes, that is so true.
So from my leadership, from my team, I've been influenced now realizing, okay, the idea that somehow everything will fall into place just as you're planning is not going to happen. So if there's no room for margin error anywhere, just know you're going to probably you probably should go ahead and go with your contingency because you're going to wind up having costlier thing on the other side.
Don't plan for best case scenario.
Plan for not necessarily worst case scenario, but
contingency.
Yeah.
Or you can write checklist manifesto.
But even then, like,
even then, that's assuming you have to assume.
You've been around this company long enough to know that everybody could read that and still not check all the boxes.
The checks do help. The checklist does help.
Yes.
Absolutely helps.
Yeah. And obviously, if you do not plan for contingencies, you either miss your deadlines or you deliver an unfinished product.
Well, I'm talking,
or both.
And I'm talking about when you're already at a place where something's already at risk.
Yeah.
That's a lesson I've learned. It's not that you're starting a project from the very beginning, planning on a worst case scenario.
So
you've already arrived at a stage where things are critical
and
you're thinking, okay, there's five or six things that need to happen in this time frame, assuming they all go according to plan and nothing goes wrong with any of them. Yeah. We will still be able to make this goal or whatever.
That's a valuable,
you're already in a critical spot.
That's a valuable lesson to learn for you, like just personal planning.
Sure.
Like vacation planning, personal budget, just your own time. Like, you know, if you're on a deadline for a writing project or whatever, there's life always throws something at you that ruins best case scenario, or at least takes away from it.
So my team has taught me that, and that's the lesson that I've learned.
All right, one more follow-up question. Did they teach you that by saying, Trevin, like, you can't plan this way, or is it more like a shared a shared experience of like, we've learned through trips and falls?
It was taught. I learned it because I was hoping that the best case scenarios would work, and they were laid out by the team of, this could still be okay if all of these things fall into place. And then it was sort of a shared learning.
Gotcha. Okay. So you learned it together with your team. It wasn't like one of them was like, Trevin, you can't plan like that.
That's right.
Okay. Got it.
Smoking opium. Bad.
Smoking. I think we've said that on this podcast before, but it's been a while. I like that one.
Yeah, we talked about like in the Garden of Beasts earlier. Do you realize it says Heil on these microphones? In these microphone stands?
Whoa.
It's really weird. Sorry.
No, I feel like, sorry guys.
That's really strange. Am I even pronouncing that right? I don't know.
Let's go with heel just to save us from.
Yeah, that's strange.
Letters.
Strange.
Yeah, from letters. Todd?
Okay. Person? One person that's influenced me recently would be a guy on our team, actually. Daniel M.
I was afraid you were going to say my replacement. Then I would have felt bad again.
Not yet. Well, it is to a certain extent because so he and another guy, which is my executive pastor, Mark Satterfield, I interact with those guys on a regular basis of they're like sounding board people.
Mm-hmm.
And if most people know, I think with my mouth. So I need to process and refine and continue to process and refine. And a lot of the times it is in that where I'll find something that is gold, or they'll ask me to clarify something. Mm-hmm. And then I'll rephrase it in a way that is like, oh, that's it. That's sticky. That's a thing that I need to have. So the influencer piece on that is they actually challenge me quite a bit. So it'll be, they're not just going to take what I have and, you know, ingest it. They're going to say, but what about this? Or what about that? Or no, that's not right. And here's why. And then we fight and then we figure it out.
You don't fight. You
work through to a solution together.
You aggressively process.
That's what our team does that well.
Yes.
And,
indeed.
I'm glad I have that relationship with a outside pastor as well. I put a couple other people in that category. Rob Jacobs from Saddleback does their leadership development. Brian Doddridge from Brentwood. Several people like that.
All good folks.
All good folks.
The names, so I can't actually give names because the people who have influenced me the most recently, I had a chance to go to Israel. We spent a little bit of time in Palestine, and getting a chance to meet with a couple church leaders there was very influential to me because it's incredibly easy to just be a Western Christian. And so to just hear them as part of conversation talk about the risks of being a Christian in a Muslim area. Now, granted, the part of Palestine that they're in, they're not Gaza Strip, they're West Bank, which is a little bit safer. There's sort of a general willingness to allow Christians to exist, but not culturally, just politically. So they're at risk of beatings, not so much hangings. But there's still just like to listen to the pastor talk about it, to listen to him talk about people who have been disowned by their family and all of these different kinds of things was very influential to me because it just sort of puts in stark contrast what we claim as persecution here because of, you know, wedding cakes and mean blog posts and, you know, angry media. And I'm like, that's not really persecution. That's just annoying. You know, nobody's getting beaten with coat hangers and things like that. And so it was helpful to just sort of have a more global understanding of the church and appreciation for what it means. And then, you know, from the time we're recording this, Palm Sunday wasn't long ago and the bombings in Egypt and realizing just again, that's very close to the culturally very close to the kind of place I was. And so there's a connection to it. So that's just more influential in terms of perspective and then just appreciation for how God is working in different parts of the world. So I could give names, but I don't know if it's safe to, so I'm not going to. Last one, Trevin already sort of shared on this one. What is one lesson you have learned recently? Trevin, you mentioned the lesson about planning and best case scenarios and contingencies. Todd, thoughts?
I would say, again, it goes back to just family and the importance of raising my kids well, that's my number one job as a guy who's developing people. It's easy for me to say, oh, I've been traveling or I'm working or whatever, and neglect to spend the right time or amount, you know, time with my family, with my kids specifically. And, you know, looking back on my childhood and what my family did for me and poured into me, and, you know, different times, remembering times that they didn't or mm-hmm. they didn't have time, has been particularly thought-provoking most recently. I'm traveling a ton right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so my kids are 8, 6, and 4. And that's just a special time. And, you know, it's like if they try to come to the car one more time, you know, when you're leaving, then let them. I mean, you know, it's like,
yeah, give them all the hugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I too have had to travel quite a bit recently and similar thoughts, just in terms of it's very easy to be sort of task oriented, project, and forgetting that you are leaving an imprint on the kids when you go and when you come home and how you come home, because especially international travel, you come home, you're exhausted. The last thing you want is like bouncy kids, but they haven't seen you in a while. And so it'd be all there and locked in. For me, the lesson is just, it's much more sort of time management, and it is the necessity of working in blocks of time. So having moved to a different position, I have lots of different projects that I'm now juggling. And, when there's a limited number of projects, blocks of time are not quite as essential because the things just sort of shake out. But when there's 15 things and 100 emails a day and whatever, all of a sudden, if you don't have blocks of time, everything is scattershot, nothing gets done, and balls get dropped. And so the necessity of taking a couple hours to knock out email or an hour to work on this particular project to get it to where it needs to be, which is not something that I have intentionally done prior. So just I wouldn't say that I've learned how to do it very well, but I have learned that I need to do it. Next comes actually practicing it. So just the necessity of time management in blocks. So that work can be done effectively and those kinds of things. Any last thoughts?
Mm.
No.
Nope.
All right. Listeners, I hope that was beneficial to you. We were kind of all over the map, but that was kind of the point as well. So resources, people, ideas, lessons, Todd's terrible taste in music, all of the above. If you go to lifeway.com/leadership, you can find the show notes. We will link to all of it, even the music. Also, go to csbible.com to learn more about the Christian Standard Bible. You can figure out, get your questions answered there, as well as figure out if there's a particular edition that's good for you, for your church, for you as a preacher, for you just as a personal Bible studier. And then go to myleadershippipeline.com to check out the Pipeline Conference that will be this fall. So those are all places where you can find great resources. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our fall conference, October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, and to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and the early bird deadline is July 31st, so move quickly to take advantage of these discounts.